I need to give this disclaimer again. We know we're in the gym and we know it's hot. But our auditorium, after 6.5 years here, is being air conditioned. So, amen. Maybe all of our money went to help that. I'm not sure. But we're here for another month, and then we go to cooler climes. But we're very glad you're here, and welcome again. I know Memorial Day weekend, we've got a lot of people out of town. There are a lot of you that are from other places. I see some of you from other parts of the church and from other places in the United States. So we're very, very glad that you're here. We're talking about Africa today. Yeah, you can tell. Three people said, I didn't recognize you. My face is the same. I don't know. I do want to say again, thank you for your patience as we've made this transition to the gym. And then we'll have a couple of community services this summer. We'll go to NJIT and Skylands as we have for several years later on in July and August. By fall, hopefully the air conditioning is done. And next summer, we may be able to choose to stay all together. But thank you. It's a challenge getting here. I really want to say thank you to Genesis and our tech crew. It is a really big job getting all this set up every Sunday. I know some of you help know that. It takes a lot of work and effort and transporting stuff from our storage facility. We've asked so many times if there's a place to store stuff here, and there's not, so amen. But thank you. Thank you to our translators. They had some challenges this morning. You're over there. Amen. Amen. It is great just to get to worship God together. And I do want to just emphasize again what Russ said. Camp, sign up before the price goes up. You don't have to pay everything. Just give them your credit card. Amen. But sign up and you lock in the price. And also want to mention the Thrive Conference in July. They've extended the early registration. You know, we've had literally hundreds of people from the New York City Church and from here go to the big conference in San Antonio and then in St. Louis. This is not that big, but it's going to be awesome. We have not had a conference like that this close to us in years. So please sign up and don't miss that. We are talking about Africa today. I've been privileged to visit our mission, the mission work in Africa, three times over the years. Once a long time ago, in 1995, Mary Lou and I got to visit the church in Johannesburg, and that's where I first heard that song we've just sung, I Cannot Dance the Way They Did, and most of you can't either, but it's awesome that we were trying. Actually, 10 years ago, Sam Powell and I got to go and visit the church in Abidjan. That's where they gave me this shirt, and it was very inspiring. A few years later, Mary Lou and I got to visit the church in Lagos, Nigeria. And again, very inspiring to hear the things that God is doing all over the world. I want to read you a verse. You don't need to turn there, but in Acts 8, you know, the church was kind of stuck in Jerusalem. Jesus had said that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all around the world, but they didn't want to leave each other. And persecution came, and they got scattered. But Luke records in Acts 8, those who'd been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The gospel message was on their hearts. And so as persecution scattered them, the church was scattered. And the gospel ended up being preached throughout the known world. If you're our guest, once a year we take what we call a special contribution to support what's going on around the world and in our geographic area where God has allowed us to live. And we'll do that on June 10th. We really support a lot of different things. You've seen in your newsletter about 58 different places. But they come in about three major categories. One, the Caribbean. As Russ talked to us about last week, the church in Haiti, we We are pretty much the only people, church, that supports the work in Haiti. And a big part of what we give for the Caribbean goes to Haiti. We also support the work in Africa to a great extent. And that's what we're talking about today. And then next week, we'll talk about what's going on locally as we're training up young men and women to be in the ministry. And as we are helping in churches in Syracuse and Albany around here. And Ross and Rob will be talking about that next week. You see on your screen, Africa needs our help. That's an understatement. You know, the continent of Africa is inhabited by 1.3 billion people. 1.3 billion people. That's an enormous amount of people. I want to give you a brief history of... Did I just shut it off? They'll help me. And I do want to interrupt saying thank you, Curtis and Carla. Curtis sent this email like, you don't have to thank us, I have to thank them. Because you know my technical abilities are very limited. I sent Curtis some sentences. Can you do this, 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 this? And we have an awesome presentation today. How do I get to the next one? See what I mean? Okay, there we go. They may have to help me with this. I don't know. You can check it, Genesis, see if it's working. Let me tell you briefly what has happened in Africa over the past generation. You know, the New York City Church has had a significant role in churches being planted and established in Africa. In 1994, the International Churches of Christ had 12 churches in 8 countries. And a call went out to really get serious about getting the message around the world. And by the year 2000, teams were sent to all 44 sub-Sahara nations. And then our church went through a challenge in 2003 and 4 of kind of an identity crisis and getting back to who we are and what God wants us to be. And that was very needed, but what that meant basically was that the mission funds for Africa pretty much dried up, except for the New York City Church of Christ. Through our challenges and losing a lot of staff and a lot of different people, we never backed off from our commitment and our support to what's going on in Africa. And I'm grateful for that and proud of that. Our specific role now in Africa is helping with French-speaking West Africa. You can do, yeah, there we go. The next one. I'll just tell you the next one because I'm not doing it something right. All right. French-speaking West Africa. We're going to see a video in a minute. What is that? That is basically the church in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. And it's a pillar church, and the churches that they have planted are helping support. And I'll give you a little more information about that in a minute. But first, we're going to see a brief video sent to us by Kofi, the evangelist, in the church in Abidjan. And he'll tell you some things about it, and then I'll summarize what he tells you.
My name is Emmanuel Kofi.
Je suis de l'église d'Abidjan, le dirigeant de l'église d'Abidjan.
I'm the lead evangelist of Abidjan Church
et
of
de
Christ.
Toute l'Afrique francophone.
And the French West Africa Mission.
Je suis là avec mon épouse Agnès Kofi.
I'm here with my beautiful wife Agnès Kofi.
Et l'administrateur Michael Coutouin.
And the administrator of the church, Michael Coutouin.
On voulait dire merci à l'église de New York.
We really want to thank New York Church.
Depuis des années, New York nous aide.
Since many, many years, New York support us.
Avec les salaires de tous nos frères et sœurs qui sont à l'extérieur.
New York help us pay the salaries of the leaders of the churches in French West Africa.
Et Dieu a béni aujourd'hui, nous avons 32 églises.
And God bless us, so we have now 32 churches.
Abidjan, nous sommes 2012.
And in Abidjan, we are now 2,112 disciples.
Et en Afrique francophone, nous sommes 4,422.
And in French West Africa, we are now 4,044 1942.
Et de janvier 2017 jusqu'à maintenant, août, fin août.
And since January to the end of August.
Nous avons 300, nous avons baptisé 335 personnes.
Since January to August for this year, we baptized 335 disciples.
Et nous avons besoin de d'autres staffeurs pour nous aider à diriger les églises.
And we need more people on the staff to lead the churches.
Parce que on a beaucoup de personnes qu'on est en train de baptiser.
And we have so much people we come into the church and we have to baptize them.
On est en train d'implanter des églises.
We are now send new missions.
Mais on n'a pas les ressources humaines.
But we don't have human resources.
Nous avons besoin de votre connexion toujours.
We really want to stay connected with you.
Non seulement vous nous donnez l'argent, mais on veut que vous venez nous voir.
We want you to continue to support us, but we want to see you in Abidjan. In our churches,
pour nous aider à la formation de nos anciens,
to help us with training our elders,
nos enseignants,
to training our teachers,
Steve Kina en train de les aider,
Steve Kina help us with the training of the teachers,
mais les anciens on n'a personne.
But for the elders in training, we need you to come and help us.
Nous avons besoin de baptiser nos adolescents.
We really want to make the teens become disciples.
On a besoin de votre aide.
We need your help.
Nous voulons vraiment vous dire merci.
We really want to say thank you.
Votre amour,
for your love,
votre cœur de sacrifice,
your sacrificial heart.
Que Dieu continue de vous bénir.
May God continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next one, please. Maybe I don't have it on. Well, I don't know. Yeah, there we go. Okay, this is an overview of what he said. As you can see, the churches in French-speaking West Africa, more than 4,000 disciples. The church in Abidjan has grown large, and that's exciting. They're basically supporting themselves, but as they have sent churches out throughout that area and the other countries that have mentioned here, you can see they do need our help, and we are the biggest contributor to the work in Africa in general, all over Africa. But specifically, this is our part of the world that we are trying to help. And you see the next one is a map that shows, as you can see, this part of Africa is French-speaking West Africa, an enormous area where millions of people live, and the 26 churches that they mentioned. And I'll say again, what we do here makes a difference. What we give on June 10th makes a difference, as collectively our funds are used to help people that we may never, ever meet until heaven. Maybe there'll be a great New York City Church of Christ and all its missions reunion for a few thousand years. It makes a difference what we do. All right, the next slide will be an introduction to somebody who really doesn't need an introduction. You know, the New York City Church, again, has had a significant role over the years in the mission work in the continent of Africa. Many years ago, when the church in Kenya was planted, Jim Brown, who's now an evangelist in Westchester, was part of that. Kevin and Andy Finnerty, who were a young married couple, and not too long after the honeymoon, went to Africa to help plant the church. They came back. Now they're teachers, but as you know, Kevin serves as one of the elders in the New York City church. Nietzsche and Daisy were both converted in Brooklyn. Nietzsche from Nigeria, Daisy from Ecuador, Colombia, one of those places, Ecuador. Thank you. Some of you folks are correcting me. Good. Be proud of it. But the New York City Church sent them to Africa, where they spent 16 years working in Kenya and Lagos and Johannesburg. We have had a great heritage of sending and people going. Some of you have gone on mission teams to different places through the years, as we had the video last week about Rosa, and that's exciting. We've asked this morning Dr. Ariel Quinones to share. Some of you know, he's a physician. I look so healthy because of him, because I avoid going to see him. I know I'm overdue in my checkup. Amen. But he's got a great story about deciding to help out with the church planting in Abidjan, and he's going to share that, and then we'll wrap up here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. I thank you, Larry, for allowing me to share. I'm super excited to be able to share with you guys. First, I'll say, bonjour, Église. Je m'appelle Ariel Quinones. Et je viens avec des nouvelles des églises africaines francophones. There's still some there. That's good morning. And I come with news from the French-speaking African churches. Yo, that's up. Larry stole some of my thunder. And that is the original team that went out to Africa. Of course, they put a little tag as to where I am, so there's no surprise there. And that going to Africa was not my intention, it's not my idea. The story goes, we're at the Boston World Mission Seminar, and Mike Tolliver gets up and starts speaking in French. And he says, if you understood anything I said, come to this meeting. And I took 4 years of French in high school. I didn't go to the meeting with the purpose of being sent to Africa. I knew Jim Brown would be at that meeting. And Jim Brown was my campus minister the semester before, my senior year down at Rutgers. I said, I'd like to see Jim. I haven't seen him in a few months. Just want to say hi. So, of course, we talked for a minute, and a couple weeks later, I'm getting a call about a meeting in New York City for those interested wanting to go to Africa. I was like, really? I'm like, he put my name on the list, and he put a star next to my name. Anyway, God worked it out, and I got to go there in October 1989. That first Sunday, the 20 of us there and 50 people at church. A couple months later, 220 people at church. So it just kept growing. Bible talks would be held in a room the size of this gym before those chairs, and Hervé would stand in the middle, and there'd be row upon row upon row of people there for Bible talk. So we'd have 180 people at Bible talk. It was an incredible time. From that church there, as Larry showed on the map, there have been churches sent to 11 different countries in French-speaking Africa. There are now 32 churches. From those churches have spawned out other ones. So just to have an idea that just with that little group, that it could turn into this, to have that kind of vision. You know, their goal is to have a group of disciples within walking distance of every African person. That is their goal. That's their vision. That is their idea. You know, their campus ministry in Abidjan. You know what? I'll start with this. This is why there's a need. Well, if they're doing so great, why do they still need us? I just want to put it in perspective. Here in New Jersey, our per capita income is $36,000. Our personal per capita is $50,000. Household income is $71,000. And family income is $87,000 on average. In Ivory Coast, per capita income is $3,600 a year. In Senegal, it's $2,480, and in Burkina Faso, it's $1,680 per year. When you break that down, it's for Ivory Coast, which is one of the wealthiest of these nations, it's $70 a week. So you get paid, and I calculated this wrong, because they usually work 12-hour days, 6 days a week. I calculated 40-hour week is $1.75 an hour. Yeah, but things are cheaper out there. Not so. When I was out there back in 1990, a bottle of soda cost you a dollar. If you're making $1.75 an hour, you're not getting that whole amount. That's half a day's pay to have a Coke. to go to the movies was $5. And so for you to pay, to take 2 days pay to go see a movie at the movie theater, it just the idea, this is why they have such a need. This is why we need to help. On their campus ministry, it's amazing. They have 636 disciples on campus and one full-time intern. They have two volunteers that help. And so, you know, hearing Kofi speak, he's like, we need your help. He says, but we need you. You know, we'd like to see you, you know, and get to know you and so on and so forth. It's amazing. Something I thought about is, you know what, I can't go there and be a campus intern. Not realistic for me. But I can try and do something to help, you know, to make a difference. We could just add one campus intern. That would double the amount they have. One of the cool things I found out was unintended consequences. When you go to school in the Ivory Coast, you choose a career. When you're done with your training, with your school, the government chooses where you go to work. So they tell you, you are going here. And there's no, well, no, I'd like to go somewhere. No. No, there's no, well, I'm going to send out my resume. No, no, this is where you're going. As a result, like Larry shared, it made me think about the persecution where disciples were scattered. So as a result, these disciples have been scattered to different parts of the country. And when you go to college and they send you to someplace where there's no church, you are now a Bible talk leader. But I just got baptized last week. Amen. Go. And they preach the word wherever they go. And they start a Bible talk there. And once they get to 10 members in that Bible talk, the church sends out a leader. And boom, now they have 9 churches in Ivory Coast. Unintended consequences. The government spreading the word for us. Brothers and sisters, there is a huge need out there, as we can see. And it's incredible what they've done from that small mustard seed. You know, they know us. They when they say thank you, they mean it. The brothers were here for a conference a few years back, and I went up to them to say hi, and one of them said, I know you. You're one of the 20. That's the 20. I was like, really? One of the 20? That's what you call us? And the fact that I didn't have glasses when he met me, I had glasses there. I didn't have that much hair or a mustache. And they memorized our faces. They knew what we looked like. It's amazing. He did tell me I was thinner back then. But what we do has made an incredible difference. What we've given has made an incredible difference over the last 28 years there. And I pray that we continue to just have the heart to give and have the heart to continually make that difference. Thank you all.
And Ariel was very modest in not mentioning that he interrupted medical school to go. It wasn't just, oh, I got nothing else to do here. No, a very great, scary, potentially career-damaging decision that God has blessed. All right, the last slide. Oh, there it is. You can help. This is, why are we talking about all this? There's a need. And we as disciples are need meters because of all God has done for us. I want to read a couple of verses and we'll close out with this today. You know, as Paul talked about what we would call a special contribution in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it was not for missions, it was for famine relief. But the principles were the same. People were giving to help people they'd never seen and would never see this side of eternity. And I encourage you again, please read these two chapters because it's about the heart of what we're doing. But you know, God makes a great promise through Paul. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul's saying, you can't outgive God. You be generous, You'll be made rich. You'll be able to be generous as long as you're trying to be generous. And then he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Ross is going to come up and make a special announcement before we close out. June 10th, we have an opportunity to say we care about the disciples and the lost in the Caribbean, in Africa, what we're trying to do here. What you do makes a difference. Amen.